It's a great day here at Tallahassee Talks with a conversation we had some years ago. Sue Semeraw, head coach for Florida State University women's basketball. She'll be with us in the second hour. And Cornelius Jones talking about the Jake Gaither Memorial House Foundation as you join us for another edition of Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Stay with me.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax. And it's done.
In 1945, Jack Widen started a glass company in Tallahassee. Now, over 70 years and three generations later, it's still working every day, doing just as Jack wanted, giving his customers real solutions for replacing window glass, providing custom-cut mirrors, and supplying superior bath and shower enclosures. Local building contractors know Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. They prefer Widen because of their precision and mastery of eye-catching storefront glass and countertop glass. It's a fact. When you choose Widen Glass, you're working with real glass people who will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. It's what Jack Widen wanted, and it's been the Widen way of doing business for over 70 years. Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Call Widen Glass today or visit them online, 850-222-5781 or widenglass.com.
Welcome again, my friend, to another exciting episode of Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, your humble host here in studio and ready to talk with those who bring to us tales of Tallahassee's goodness and greatness and accomplishments, ideas and activities, organizations, and mostly people. That's what we're about when they're talking about the things that help define us, that move us out into the greater world, where we find ourselves on a world stage offering all kinds of things well beyond our history as an agrarian farming community in the state capital and known for a collegiate football team, FSU and such. But we find ourselves in these days asking more and more, who are we? Who are we really? And so that's really why this show was started. We're now in our 10th season, and as we celebrate this 10th anniversary year, we're bringing to you some of those conversations we've had in years past that we find even perhaps more meaningful or even perhaps more to the point about this question of self-discovery. You know, it's my conviction that you can't really know what you're supposed to do, nor can you really find your own particular value, you know, the character of a community, without knowing first who you are. And I think that applies for us individually. It certainly applies to ourselves in relation to one another. And at that point, we say, okay, and what about community? How is a population best represented or even defined or referred to? Well, Tallahassee is in that sort of adolescence, I think. And as we begin to make effort at more and more discovery, we ask questions. Who are we? What do we care about? What makes us laugh or what makes us cry? What are the things that we're willing to invest ourselves in? We've got some great examples in today's show, and you're going to hear it from a man named Cornelius Jones. He's the president of the Jake Gaither Memorial House Foundation. So I won't steal anybody's thunder here. We'll let Mr. Jones tell us about this whole effort. And those of you who are already quite familiar with Jake Gaither's accomplishments as a football coach, well, you know, you're ready. You're ready for this. For those of you who are new to the conversation about this man and certainly new to what Cornelius Jones has done in recognizing Mr. Gaither, Well, you're in for a treat. You're going to learn a whole lot more again about this business of Tallahassee's greatest natural resource being its people, who look well beyond our history or those labels that have been used to describe us. And they're crafting then new territory. They're getting out there. So he'll be with me in the first hour, and then equally celebrated, accomplished Sue Semrau. She is the head coach for Florida State University women's basketball. And oh my goodness, four times ACC Coach of the Year. She took off last year to care for her ailing mother, and she's back. And no less expecting great things from her. Not an exaggeration to say that she's not only an outstanding collegiate basketball coach, a remarkable human being, a humanitarian. And she'll talk at length about her work with Samaritan's Feet, an organization that was established years ago to provide shoes for needy kids. And you'll find her on the court at least one game or two out of the year, coaching barefoot as a statement of recognition and reminding us, you know, that something as simple as, we might say, a pair of shoes can change a person's life indeed. Anyway, so we'll get into that with her. Again, a conversation from back in 2015 when Coach Semrau was kind enough to join us. You know, this is what we do here. We do it every week. And as we have done so, we've come across some of the most remarkable people. But I have to say that, my friend, you are one of those remarkable people. And let me remind you that in whatever quadrant, in whatever capacity, you are living your life and contributing to our good. Man, if you're just doing your job day after day and taking care of your family, taking care of your neighbors, well, God bless you. Congratulations. That's what we need. We need all of us then to engage, right? Work with what talents and skills and gifts we may have been granted and care for the people that are within reach, especially those who are under our care and keeping. If you're an employer, make sure you're taking care of your employees. Is that too much to ask? And is it even necessary for me to say that? But perhaps we should be reminded occasionally that, you know, I like the notion that JCPenney never thought of himself as having employees. Always referred to those folks as associates. Well, perhaps our associates, in the capacity of being engaged in whatever work you're about, need to be recognized that way. Yeah, never too late to do the right thing, I say. So if that's something you can do this week, there you go. And speaking of things going on, we should talk about the BBC Bradfordville Blues Club live tonight at 9 o'clock on Moose Magnificat. And the Southside Festival that's been going on the last couple of days. I think this is day two. So that's going on in town. Lots of neat stuff. A lot of festivals. Springtime, Tallahassee just did their accommodating festival last weekend, and they were able to muster a bunch of musicians that are out there. And by the way, you'll find on Moose Magnificat many of those same musicians. They are the sound of Tallahassee, and Moose prides itself in providing you all local musicians playing their original songs. So don't play any cover songs. This is the sound of Tallahassee, and we're pleased to be able to be a part of it. You'll find the station online at moosemagnificat.com, as you will our show, TallahasseeTalks.com, and you can email us at any time if you got an idea for the show, a guest, or a topic you'd like us to consider. I encourage you to email us at topics@TallahasseeTalks.com. Simple enough. We love hearing from you. You can find us on Facebook by the same title. And as we go forward in celebrating our 10th anniversary, you can look forward to a lot of these conversations. We'll bring some fresh folks, fresh conversation to the mix as well as we find opportunity. But it's always a pleasure to think back through all that we've done. And we hope to be with you for the duration. And we'll go and keep working as long as God gives us breath, I suppose. Well, there we are. And don't forget, if I may remind you, we have in play our Tallahassee Food Challenge for 2021. You can help us take the challenge, fill a bowl, feed the hungry. That's our request of you. Find out more at TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Widen Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Widen Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Widen's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Widen is known for taking care of business. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Changing the face of talk radio in Tallahassee. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Alonzo Smith Gaither, known as Jake Gaither, was born in 1903 and lived until 1994. And during his life, he established for himself and for this town a remarkable reputation as a head football coach at Florida A&M University. He coached 25 years. He amassed one of the best winning records of any college football coach during that time. He was born in Dayton, Tennessee, and his father, who was a preacher, taught his young son the good things about life and about being a good man. He expected his young son to also become a preacher. But when he graduated from Knoxville College, where he played football, Coach Gaither's father had passed about that time. And he became a high school football coach to help support his family. He then later completed his master's degree at Ohio State University, 1937. Jake Gaither is not only a well-known, nationally recognized figure in the world of college athletics, but we could easily say athletics at large. He contributed sizably to our community, particularly FAMU football, with a lot of innovative solutions. He instituted an annual coaching clinic at FAM in the late 50s and recruited major college coaches, including Bear Bryant, Frank Broyles, and Woody Hayes, to come and staff those clinics. He introduced in 1963 the split T formation, and it was soon adopted at other colleges. In 69, FAMU defeated the University of Tampa 34-28 in the South's first football game between a white college and a predominantly black college. He also coached basketball and track. He was phenomenal. And for those who know of his history, know of his contribution, it's very easy for us to recognize the value of preserving what was his home. And so the Jake Gaither home here in Tallahassee is a statement. It is, in fact, been recognized as an historic site and as part of Tallahassee's history and national history, football history. The Jake Gaither home is another shining example what makes Tallahassee such a very special place. Well, fast forward a bit. You come to the 80s, and a lot of coaches have come and gone, and a lot of football players have come and gone. And a guy named Cornelius Jones walks on the field at FAMU, wanting to play football. No scholarship, just wanting to play. He ends up becoming a linebacker. Graduated in 94 from FAM. Got his degree in civil engineering. Created his own company. Bought some land. Began building as a contractor in 97. Started Omega Construction Company. And throughout his career, he has bought and sold property, providing for his wife and his four kids. He's got three boys and a daughter. Great Tallahassee story, Cornelius Jones. He's our guest this morning. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine. Good morning.
You know, you're not playing football anymore.
No.
But sure as heck, I would not want you tackling me anytime soon. So I'm not going to be carrying a football around if you're in the room, I'm just saying, because it probably would spark some kind of, you know, instinct in you, especially if I start running, right?
Yeah,
you're going
right.
to come
well,
after
not,
me.
Not now. Probably yeah. couldn't catch you.
Are you originally from Cleveland, Ohio?
Originally from Cleveland, Ohio,
and got to Tallahassee,
right,
to walk on.
Well, not even to play football.
No,
my father was like, either you go to school, you college, you go to work, go to the military, but you're going to have to get up out of this house. So my high school coach kept all my mail. Come to find out, because I didn't get any letters. And I got invited to the East-West game and wound up starting, and all the scouts were there, and they were like, you hadn't been recruited. I said, no. Come to find out, my high school coach kept all my mail. But anyway.
Why did he do that?
I have no idea. Just, you know, I said, I'm going to let the Lord deal with it. And
So you didn't know that you were being highly touted and being looked at by all these other schools?
Right, I had scholarships to Ashland, Edinburgh, little small schools like that, but... Like Ohio University, schools of that nature, I got recruited, but just never received the letter. You know, nowadays they have the internet and all that where you can do your own little advertisement. But then you had to depend on the high school coach to give you your mail. But forward past that, I decided to go to HBCU. Didn't want to go to Howard or schools up north. I wanted to kind of get away. And I chose, it was either between Grambling or Florida A&M. And it's a funny story. Grambling's application was 4 pages and FAM's was 2. So I filled out FAM's first. And I got accepted at FAM and never had to fill out Grambling's application. So I came here in 88 and went to school, civil engineering. At first, I just, you know, regular classes, the one-on-one classes that you take your freshman year. And then in the spring, I walked on the football team as an inside linebacker, and I also was pledging what you call hazing back then,
you know,
Omega Psi Phi fraternity.
Mm-hmm.
And
we don't talk about that much anymore.
Yeah, you know, but that's what
that's
it was
the old days.
Yeah, old days. And so Coach Riley was a coach then, was not able to receive a scholarship in the fall for some, you know, to pay for books or what have you. So therefore, I put the football to the side and concentrated on my books, and I graduated in 94, and I was getting ready to pack up and go, and I bought a piece of land in 94, which was Shaker Heights apartment complex right there on the bottom of the hill on Wanish Way,
right,
where the city bought it,
yep,
turned it into a roundabout,
yep,
Family Way,
yep,
take it to Lake Bradford. So I sold that, got my license in 97. And just, you know, I have some other townhouses, bought and sold, and moved forward to about 2 years ago. You know, I got married in 2009 and have four kids.
Mm-hmm. You've been busy, man.
Yeah, been busy.
And so somewhere in your mind, this idea of buying the Jake Gaither home pops up. We're going to find out how that all came about, folks. I've got with me Cornelius Jones. He and his wife, Rashay, they now own the Jake Gaither Memorial House. We're going to learn more about that and how significant that is to our community. So stay with me. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
In 1945, Jack Whiddon started a glass company in Tallahassee. Now, over 70 years and three generations later, it's still working every day, doing just as Jack wanted, giving his customers real solutions for replacing window glass, providing custom cut mirrors, and supplying superior bath and shower enclosures. Local building contractors know Whiddon Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. They prefer Whiddon because of their precision and mastery of eye-catching storefront glass and countertop glass. It's a fact. When you choose Whiddon Glass, you're working with real glass people who will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. It's what Jack Whiddon wanted, and it's been the Whiddon way of doing business for over 70 years. Whiddon Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Call Whiddon Glass today or visit them online, 850-222-5781 or whiddenglass.com.
More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
The Gaither House, as it is now known, was the home of Jake Gaither from 1954 until his death in 1994. He shared the home with his wife, Sadie, who was a longtime FAMU English professor. After it left their hands, it fell on hard times. And when Cornelius Jones discovered this home here a couple of years ago, he found it in a pretty sad state, didn't you?
Yes, yes.
And you found out about the sale of this home not knowing that this was Jake Gaither's home.
Right. I had no idea that it was Jake Gaither's home, actually on a piece of property on the same street. So this was going up on auction, tax deed sale the next day. So I had been to a couple of tax deed sales in the past couple of months, and I knew that this house was all brick, and I said $35,000 the back taxes due on it. So I said, let me go by and check it out first. And so the family, I guess, was outside to call the city to try and stop them from putting it on the tax deed sale the next day. So I said, hey, I'm interested in the house, and they said a gentleman was supposed to buy it. And I said, do you mind if I go in? I walked in, and it was trash. It was like a drug house where they just, people just at nighttime and just like zombies, I guess, because it was closed. They piled trash in one room until it was full of trash, and then they went to the other room until they filled up the whole house with trash.
Mm.
So I was kind of scared to walk one way because I knew it had to be some rats or something in the house. And I walked the other way where there was a clear path a little bit, some kind of path. Through the kitchen, and then there was the back room, and I said, man, there's some pictures on the wall. I said, this is Jake Gaither's house. I saw pictures of Coach Lang and all of the teams, 69, 68, 67, of Jake Gaither's, and I saw a mobile, agile, and hostile slogan, and the Rattler room, and so I said, man, this is Jake Gaither's house. So I left. I was on my lunch break, and I went back outside and told him I was interested in the house. Not saying that, hey, this is Jake Gaither's house. I just said, I'm interested. And so they said, well, Mr. Jones, if this gentleman doesn't come through, we'll give you a call. So I called about 8 o'clock, and they said, well, Mr. Jones, it's yours. So I went to the bank at 7:30 before they opened, waited in the parking lot to get a cashier's check to pay them. And they deed it over to me. It took about 2 months to get all that stuff out the And his nephew actually was the one living in the house and kind of just got into bad times and just let the house go. So I had a lot of the memorabilia stuff was still in the house.
Wow.
And so I said, you got till Friday to get this stuff out of there. So he took all the stuff to storage, and about 2 months after I finished getting everything together,
it was a mess.
Ready to put stuff back on the walls.
Remember you telling me there was holes in the ceiling and this kind of stuff.
And the raccoon, I think the raccoons had a nest and took the sheetrock out, and a big pile of feces just fell on the floor.
Man. Oh, man.
So about 2 months later, I said, I'm finished with the house, and I need to get the stuff out of the storage so I can put it back on the wall. Like I promise you, I'm going to restore your uncle's house and turn it into a museum. And he said, well, the storage people are getting ready to auction everything off. So I had to go and give him another $1,000 and deeded storage over to me. And then I put the stuff back on the wall. I still got boxes and stuff at the house. I've got letters from the White House and 69 from President Nixon.
Wow.
To Jake Gaither. I've got letters from where he did the Toastmaster for Bear Bryant, where Bear Bryant says, hey, I got to get one of those black boys to catch those other black boys. He got that statement. And just to know about Jake Gaither doing segregation, for him to be in talks. I've got pictures with him with all the governors from 47 to 60 to 74, actually. Graham, Askew.
All of them.
Leroy Collins. You know, and I, you know, I'm from Ohio, so I don't even know
who these guys.
Leroy Collins. I know who they are now.
Yeah, right.
But the fact that he was able to communicate with people of that nature during segregation, you know, says a lot about Jay Gaither. So,
yeah.
And the fact that he did coaching clinics with Bear Bryant and all that, it was just amazing to me. All that. So anyway, I just moved forward, and I turned it into a blood, sweat, and tears, where that I could join the School of Business and the athletic department to raise money. So, because these students don't know who Jay Gaither is.
Yeah.
And so they could have the importance of what school they go to and know the importance of what Jay Gaither meant.
Which, by the way, and we talked about this in the beginning of our conversation here, his accomplishments as a coach,
right.
Formidable. 6 black college national football championships.
Right.
Wow. One of the winningest coaches in our history.
You know, we started an annual golf tournament this past year, and it went pretty well, but we look forward to starting in January to raise more money. You know, Coach Caldwell, the Detroit Lions coach, donated $10,000. Martin Mayhew, you know, he's my fraternity brother, but he went to Florida State, played for the Washington Redskins, was the GM of the Detroit Lions. He sent $5,000 and, you know, tried to get Florida A&M on board, but I know they have issues of their own, so I didn't want to kind of get
involved
in the middle of that. But now athletic director Overton has been very helpful, and Coach Woods, so we're moving forward, and I think we're going to be able to put this together, because this is something that Florida A&M and the community of Tallahassee needs to have to showcase.
I mean, and it seems as though not only is that connected with people locally, you've been able to garner some national attention for this thing. Now you've got this marker in front of the house that identifies the home, right?
Right.
And talk about how that all, because you got nominated to be on the National Register.
And it's been
approved.
It's been approved as of May the 18th. So
wow.
Now I should be able to, you know, get federal dollars, grants to, thanks to Representative Alan Williams, the former Representative Alan Williams, I was, the state gave $100,000 for the house, for the Jake Gaither House. So now I'm in the process of using that money to make it ADA compliance, putting fire suppression systems in.
Gotcha.
And security systems and all of that nature.
In case, folks, you're just getting hold of this story and you want to dig in a little further on this Jake Gaither home, there is a website, jakegaitherhouse.org, and you can learn a lot there. They've done a great job in giving us the backstory, some of the history there. There's this great photo of Jake Gaither. Well, there's a lot of photos in there, but Jake Gaither with Reuben Askew. He was, as you pointed out, he was a bridge, wasn't he? He was the kind of person who could reach out to legislators and governors.
Right.
He reached out to the white community. He reached out to the black community.
Right.
He brought people together.
Correct. He was kind of like the spokesperson for the black community in a way, and the white community would come to him to kind of bridge the gap. Because I think Tallahassee is not that kind of town where you see all the divides you see everywhere else.
Right.
Tallahassee, to me, is kind of different. It's a different vibe than what you see on the news and everything. I mean, people are very nice, both black and white. And now, you got all different ethnicities.
Yep.
You know, all different types of people that are in Tallahassee now with the both schools here. Some people stay here, so it's a different mixture than what it is nationwide.
So from your perspective, as you've experienced Tallahassee, and you've been here a long time now.
Yes.
I mean, going back into the, you know, mid-80s there, upon your arrival and have stayed and been in business, and now you have this heartfelt project, you think that Tallahassee for the black community and white community mm-hmm. isn't as contentious? Is that what you'd say? How do you experience it, I guess?
Well, I experience that they are, you know, I'm getting it out there a little bit more about the Jake Gaither House. They just need to be able to raise the funds in order to have somebody to be there in the house with me working with kids and all that's kind of hard. So we're going to raise the money, and I didn't want to be out there where you're kind of out there begging in a way, mm-hmm. but this is a definitely need. So I'm just taking a slow approach because I don't want to go down the road and have to turn back around and go.
I noticed you did this awards dinner back in November.
Right.
How did that go for you? It was a neat little fundraiser.
Man, that was very. We had Andre White. He was he's in the Hall of Fame in Florida and then played for the Denver Broncos. He was Marvin Gaye's manager. And James Brown's manager, he came and spoke, man, and did a lovely job. And the president, Larry Robinson, was there, the athletic director. It was about 100 people, but next year we hope to have 250
bigger
people.
Bigger and bigger.
Yes. I mean, for the first event, it was lovely.
Folks, we're talking with this very interesting man, Cornelius Jones, a transplant from Cleveland, Ohio, who made his home in Tallahassee back in the mid-'80s. Played football for FAM, built a business, grew his family, finds himself presented with an opportunity to acquire a home, which turns out to be the home of Jake Gaither, legendary football coach. We're learning a lot about this man and about Tallahassee in the process. You stay with me. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
New deals and new specials are now available at Jerry's Famous Cigar Shop. Each week, Jerry's will offer double Jerry's Bucks on select featured cigar brands. You'll get 10 Jerry's Bucks for every $50 you spend, plus standard Bucks and Lucker member discounts. It's first come, first serve, so don't wait. Curbside pickup is available at both Jerry's Cigar Shop locations, plus free UPS shipping on orders over $29. You can find all the great deals and specials at jerryscigarshop.com. That's jerryscigarshop.com.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back and we're talking with Cornelius Jones, FAMU football player, businessman, licensed building contractor since 97, Omega Construction Company he started. He and his wife, four kids, just getting it done, right?
Yeah.
Tallahassee,
no choice.
A Tallahassee man, Tallahassee, a real Tallahassee story. So here he has the Jake Gaither House. Oh, boy. And it's sort of a good news, bad news. Because, you know, now he's got it. He's put a lot of money into it to get it fixed up. They're finally acknowledged by having been placed on the National Historic Registry. That just happened here a few months back. And then something called Hurricane Hermine walks through town and had its sights set on this historic home. And I guess the morning after, you went down to see what happened.
Right. I guess me and my little three-year-old son, you know, I was up at 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, listening to the weather.
Yeah, like the rest of us.
About 4 o'clock, and my wife said, no, don't get up. It's still dark, so I was, you know, waited till 6 o'clock. My son got in the car, and next thing I know, when I get down to Thomasville, I get a text from my next door neighbor to the Jake Gaither House sending me a picture of this big tree.
Ouch.
And I was driving, so I said, I'll be there in 30 minutes. I get there, man, there was a big 100-foot water oak tree that fell from the back, which was probably 75 feet away from the house. It fell from the back all the way to the front of the house, damaged the roof, the inside, the floor. But luckily, if the tree fell in the best place it could fall, because it did not damage any of the memorabilia.
Wow.
In the one room, all the pictures and everything was still on the wall. Just messed up that middle room, and the middle room is where the food is placed, you know, because we rent it out for events like wedding receptions and stuff of that nature for a small group. And like we're having Christmas parties during the winter. And so anyway, the tree comes through, And I get strictly on the phone to call a tree company. Luckily, I Google a tree company. AAA Tree Service is who I was calling, but some other tree service came and I said, man, I got to get this tree out of here. I deal with the insurance later. I got the money to pay for it. So they came and started getting the tree out. And at 11 o'clock when they were still working on the tree, I said, what made y'all come to me first? And they said, well, you said you had the money and you wasn't worried about the insurance, so we came to you first because they were coming from Pensacola.
Wow.
They had just got off I-10, so it was the Lord's will to, for them, because that was like 10 people ahead of me.
Wow.
So they came, and then Julie Montanaro came by and took pictures, and we had that roof done. That was Labor Day weekend. We had the roof and everything done
now,
by Tuesday.
How did she find out about the damage? Did you
I had to call, yeah, I contacted her, yes. And so we had the roof done by Tuesday. We were done within 2 weeks, and then the insurance company, of course, came that day, Friday, and cut me a check to take care of the expenses, but I'm still dealing with that now to try and recoup some more money, because the $35,000 was not going to take care of all that damage. And then with a hurricane, find out you got to pay 2% deductible, which if it hadn't been a hurricane, you wouldn't only had to pay probably maybe $500 or $1,000. But since it's a hurricane, 2%, they take out $6,000. So, but hey, we roll with the punches, and so you know we survived that, and we got everything finished and in the same condition that it was. Luckily, the insulation fell on the ground and saved the wood floors.
Wow.
But that was just the grace of God, man.
Could have been a lot worse.
Oh, no question.
I think a number of us have said that storm
did a lot more damage than what we expected.
Could have been a lot worse.
Yes.
Sure enough. It was tough.
Yes.
Yeah, it was tough, and I think it was more than we expected. But then when you start looking back and go, well, man, if it had gone that way.
Yeah.
From that point going to now,
mm-hmm.
right? So you've had all of this recovery effort.
Right.
And are you planning other fundraisers in the months ahead, or how else can the community help you in with the finances?
Well, what they can log on to the website jakegaithahouse.org, and on there I'm doing a brick campaign where you can purchase bricks, and we're gonna, you know, I'm making a walkway for the bricks. My objective, I want to redo the whole driveway with bricks and everything, but we're doing a brick campaign to raise money, and I'm going to try to get with Coach Caldwell, Martin Mayhew, those coaches in the NFL. I got with Tony Dungy's lawyer, called me about 2 weeks ago, the day after the banquet, to try and set up an annual golf clinic. I mean, not a golf clinic, but a coaching clinic, just like Jay Gaither had. And just something small in the spring, during the spring game, and then the annual golf tournament 5K run.
Oh, that's cool.
So we did a 5K run this past, that Saturday, the last home game, and we had about 40, 50 people, but I know we can get at least 250, 300 people from Tallahassee to come and support.
When you think about the contribution that Jake Gaither made to this community and to college football, now here you are making contribution to the memory of what he did. The house for you is more than just a house, isn't it?
Oh, man, it is. I put so much work in it, and my son, he's graduating this year. He learned so much about Coach Gaither and what he meant, and I've got all his speeches, what he writes from. You know, and knowing his father was a preacher, you could tell in all of his speeches. I mean, hell, he kind of motivated me to, I tell the coach, I got 3 more years of eligibility. Let me go back out and play. But he was a motivational speaker.
It's not too late, Cornelius. Come on, man.
It's too late. But see, the body is all broke up. But he was such a motivator that, you know, and one thing that touched me, he was a guest speaker at Crimson Tide, Alabama in 1970. I was born in 70. And so coming from Cleveland, my mother was from Alabama. We would go to Alabama every summer, but I couldn't go to the stores when I was little because of the racism and stuff. So I was about 8 or 9, they allowed me to go to the store, and I think a guy shot the bird at me. So I said, oh, that's why I can't go to the store. But to see Jake Gaither, the guest speaker in 1970 in Alabama, Crimson Tide, that is unbelievable.
Big time.
That's big time.
Yeah,
and so I'm went to the American Coaching Football Clinic up in St. Louis about 2 years ago, man, and all Schellenberger. His wife was like, look, I've got pictures with Frank Howard. You know, he started the Rock in Clemson. I mean, all of those coaches, the coaches that are living now that were up there, they couldn't believe, and they have actually helped to contribute and buy bricks. Mm-hmm. Some of those coaches up there, mm-hmm. Coach Schellenberger is willing to come and help mm-hmm. to speak. I mean, George Taft, Teef, all those coaches were amazed, and so I plan on going again in January. I missed Fantastic. It last year in San Antonio.
Cornelius Jones is our guest. This young man who had a vision, took opportunity to bring this historic home, the home of Jake Gaither, to a place where we can now look back and recognize not only the contribution he made as a football coach, but the contribution he made as a man and as a person who brought people together. And at a time when our community, our nation needs more of that, this is a great rallying point, isn't it, Cornelius?
Yes, yes.
So let's remember this. And, folks, I encourage you to participate. Get involved by going to their website. It's a very simple address, jakegaitherhouse.org.
Correct.
Folks, a great Tallahassee story. Cornelius, thanks for being with us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
You stay with me, folks. We've got more coming up after the top of the hour. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Hello, I'm Brian Cerny, host of Tallahassee Talks Radio.
And I'm Coach Sue Semrau.
The food assistance charities in Tallahassee need our help during this critical time of year. And the businesses sponsoring the Tallahassee Food Challenge want to remind each of us to take the challenge by making an additional contribution and donating food.
As the school year comes to an end, many children no longer have access to school-based food support programs. As a result, supplies run low, while the needs for assistance is even higher. Join us in giving generously during this critical time of need. You'll be helping feed hungry children and families across our community.
Go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com to learn how you can help and where you can donate. Your donation will go directly to these charities that do so much to help the needs of so many.
Take the challenge. Fill a bowl.
Feed the hungry. Do it now. Go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com.
Hi, I'm Tom Flanagan. You're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Welcome back to the second hour of Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Glad you're with me on this occasion. You know, we are broadcast simultaneously Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock, Moose Magnificat Radio, which you'll find online at moosemagnificat.com. It is streaming radio, and as such, available to you on your phone, your pad, your computer. I encourage you to download the app for either Google, Android, you know, or iPhone. It's available in both stores, respectively. Yeah, that's the word. And respectfully, I should say that too. It's respectful and it's respective. And okay, sorry, Carl. But the point being, it's convenient and it's free. And you can download it and enjoy the sound of Tallahassee at your leisure. We are privileged to be a part of the lineup for Moose Magnificat that airs Saturday mornings, 9 o'clock Eastern Time. And again, on Sunday afternoons, we are on Moose at 3 p.m. And then again, Wednesday afternoons at 5:30. I mentioned that we're simulcast. We should thank our friends and partners in this at Real Talk 93.3 FM Tallahassee. Thank you, John, for all your hard work and keeping that station between the lines, we'd say. Great group of folks over there. Glad you're with me too, my friend, because you know we have so many good things to talk about. And I mentioned to you earlier, Sue Semrau is with us here in the second hour. Ugh, what a class act. Tender-hearted she is, but tough as nails. When it comes to coaching, man, she is high performance. And curiously enough, many of you may already know this, Sue and I actually come from the same hometown of Seattle, Washington. More specifically, we grew up there on the shores of Lake Washington in a little community called Lake Forest Park. It gets even more interesting when you find out that though we are 8 years apart, we were only about four blocks apart. She and I grew up in the same neighborhood, for heaven's sakes. Although being 8 years my junior, you know how that goes. But we both attended Brookside Elementary and Morgan Hunt Junior High School and Shorecrest High School. We actually discovered that here in Tallahassee years ago. We were at some function and she mentioned her origins, and after the presentation and all and the event was concluded, I made my way up to talk with her. And what, again, I mean, what a charming soul, but she was gracious in saying, yeah, you know. And I began to ask then, so where did you go to high school? And we kind of worked through the whole list, and we were both, I think, sort of taken with the fact that here we both ended up in Tallytown. Not the first time that's happened to me, by the way. I found some other Seattleites that have found Tallahassee to be their home of choice. And in the last 40 years that I've been here, it's been a remarkable journey. And I've been privileged, as you, have you, many of you, to see the kind of changes that have gone on and the evolution, not only in our, let's say, our structural, I don't know, infrastructural kind of things, like the Gain Street revitalization project or something like Cascades Park, and those are noteworthy by all means. But I think more fundamental, perhaps even more substantial, it's this rediscovery or a appreciation or a new appreciation of who we really are, who we're becoming. So Sue is contributing to that with her work, not only with FSU women's basketball as their head coach. She's actively involved in several different charitable organizations, notably Samaritan's Feet, and she'll talk with us at length about that. So you don't want to go anywhere. If you're in tune with us today, be sure that you stay with me through the rest of this hour. And let me encourage you, too, to consider contributing to our welfare as a community and to the needs of families and kids who suffer. We are in one of the most prominent food deserts in Florida. In fact, Leon County ranks number one in food scarcity against other counties. And if you don't believe me, go talk to the folks over there at Second Harvest, right? So we've made effort recently to try to keep us all abreast of that information. Right? And when you talk with Second Harvest, they'll advise you that in this prior year of COVID assault, it really is, the rest of the state saw an increase in food scarcity, food insecurity, I should say, by about 1% or 2%. Well, Leon County's food insecurity was exponential in its increase. So we went from, you know, about a 15, 16% up to 30%. So that's like, what, a doubling. How can that possibly be? You know, one of the most prosperous counties in North Florida. But you got to consider something. You have to take 27, 28 counties that surround us, add up their annual income to equal what Leon County turns out in a year's time. That's the issue. And then you couple that with the fact that more and more those outlying communities find themselves sort of on the losing end in some respects. And notably, Gadsden County, you had an entire population of people that were disenfranchised back in the 60s when the tobacco industry over there finally just collapsed. And where do those people go to work? Well, most of them are working for government in some capacity. City, county, state, federal, whatever. And, I mean, at the same time, you see these local towns in places like Quincy and Havana really struggling. Let's not leave out Monticello or Crawfordville. So when we look at Tallahassee at large, really what you have to do is include a number of these counties. Certainly five counties would better define. In fact, that's what the Census Bureau does in looking at the Tallahassee-Thomasville SMA, you know, the standard metropolitan area. And in that SMA, you have this diversity of population, economically, educationally, even culturally. We are remarkably different from one another in so many ways. So much so that Richard Florida years ago identified Tallahassee using that SMA as his population. He described Tallahassee as the most segregated city in America, which raised the ire of a lot of locals, business-oriented sort of folks and chambers of commerce, and yeah, didn't like that very much. So poor Richard found himself not quite as popular as he had been prior, because he was being lofted as, you know, the boy wonder who was going to tell us all how to attract and retain the creative class, as he described it. We've done that, I think, in large measure, or better than we had in the prior decade. But, you know, as I say, with Richard Florida, yeah, not so much. Anyway, folks, we're going to take some time here for a commercial break, and then we will have Coach Sue Semerow join us, so stay with me.
Hello, I'm Brian Cerny, host of Tallahassee Talks Radio.
And I'm Coach Sue Semerow.
The food assistance charities in Tallahassee need our help during this critical time of year. And the businesses sponsoring the Tallahassee Food Challenge want to remind each of us to take the challenge by making an additional contribution and donating food.
As the school year comes to an end, many children no longer have access to school-based food support programs. As a result, supplies run low, while the needs for assistance is even higher. Join us in giving generously during this critical time of need. You'll be helping feed hungry children and families across our community.
Go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com to learn how you can help and where you can donate. Your donation will go directly to these charities that do so much to help the needs of so many.
Take the challenge. Fill a bowl.
Feed the hungry. Do it now. Go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com.
The best place for conversation. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So we are back and we're talking with a young lady who has aspired to greatness, and originally a native of Seattle, Washington, and as it turns out, as fate would have it, a former neighbor of mine, although 8 years apart. I think we figured that out. Sue Semerow is our guest. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Coach, I guess you would be doing pretty good right now. I mean, this is kind of how it's supposed to happen. I mean, when you're sitting there in your planning, you know, in your team meetings and your practice, you're like, okay, this is what happens. We win the game. Doesn't always happen, but we kind of like that to happen if it's reasonably achievable. So tell us about this run. You guys are just...
You know, it's been really fun. Brian, it's like a type of year where you didn't know going in that it was going to be this type of year. We graduated one of the top picks in the WNBA last year, had a lot of new players coming in, and just credit to those kids and my staff that they've developed a unity that really goes beyond their skill level. You know, you can have great skill, but if you're not playing as a unit, then you don't win a lot of games.
I read once recently about, was it Bill Russell that was asked, can the Bulls win the championship now that they have Michael Jordan? And he said, no. And they said, why? He said, because there's only one ball.
Mm.
So Michael hasn't yet figured that part out. That speaks to this idea that when we come together as a team.
That's right.
In basketball, in life. Things can really happen that we didn't predict,
Absolutely.
That we could not have anticipated.
And I think it's a great thing when you have a group of people who will work and sacrifice and achieve some success when they don't care who gets the credit. I think, you know, Florida State women's basketball right now has achieved unprecedented success. But I don't think anybody knows any of the players' names as a household name. And that's just because of their selflessness.
And they're okay with that.
And they're okay with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's what athletics should be all about. Certainly not if you're a golfer, but.
How do you instill that?
You know, I think it's an intentionality that on the part of my staff and my team, that when we go out and we recruit players, we recruit in such a way that they understand that even though they're extremely talented, it's not going to be just about them. I've got four different high school All-Americans on the team who wanted to come and play with the best and against the best. And that's what they're able to do at Florida State.
In that career that you've had at Florida State, how long have you been coaching there?
18 years.
Wow. I was just a little kid then.
Me too. I don't know how they gave a 12-year-old the job.
How does this happen?
I know.
But man, what a contribution. I mean, and I've heard you, as many of our listeners have on various occasions, speak to this issue of the game and life at large. And I remember hearing you speak to a group of chamber members at one breakfast occasion and talking about the loss of a player, a young woman who died, and the team having to come together around that and walk through that tragedy. And it was to talk about that particular occurrence, and I'm sure there have been a lot of other things that have come since then that have challenged your resolve. Can you speak to how that affected you or how it changed you, if it did?
Yeah, no, definitely. You know, that was back in 2004 when a sophomore on my team had a very rare disease called Marfan syndrome. And there wasn't a lot of detection for that. And it was one night, 3 a.m., I got a phone call that basically it's a disease of the connective tissue, and hers was in her heart. And the connective tissue couldn't withstand the blood circulation, so very suddenly that
disintegrated,
and she died that very night, and just going through that as a unit, as a family, with her family, and locking arms was something that did test our resolve. But honestly, you know, with her family's help, going out brought us very close and helped us to realize the importance of things beyond the court. Even this past year, we had a young lady on our team whose mother was suddenly diagnosed with bladder cancer, and for her teammates to come around her, for the university to allow me to get her mom moved up here into hospice in Tallahassee, and our team to be around her mom in her final days. I think that does something to you, and it helps you really realize the big picture.
When you're back to the game itself and you have already walked through whatever life has brought you as a team, how do you move from all of that and then become focused on this activity? Talk about that process, I guess.
Yeah, and I think your knees are probably a little weak a lot of times. And that's why I try to spend a lot of time on mine so that I can find some strength.
Prayer is good.
Yes, very much so. I think that you've got to have that personal strength that for me, you know, just comes from God and knowing that this is the mission that I'm called to be on. But I think then locking arms with people that are struggling with you, but to do something else. So you're not sitting there trying to figure out, you know, how are we going to deal with this issue? You take the strength that you have and you put it in to another area. And for us, it's basketball. For us, we are able to go out and to put all of that energy into something else. And I think it's because we address what's going on. We don't pretend it doesn't happen. We deal with it, but then we don't deal with it and stop. We deal with it and move into a different environment.
Talking with Sue Summerall here, coach, Florida State women's basketball, having a pretty good run at things so far this year, and certainly we are delighted for you and for your staff, for your team, for Florida State fans. This is a great thing. Even better that you've decided to give us just a little bit of your time, because this is busy time for you. Folks, stay with us. We're going to learn more from this young lady who has brought to Tallahassee, I think, as we talk about Tallahassee, perhaps a different vision, a different view of what it means to be an athlete, what it means to be a collegiate athlete, what it means to be a Tallahassean. You stay with us. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back talking with Coach Sue Cimarro, Florida State women's basketball. A little bit about life's lessons. It sounds like suffering and adversity, as those things do happen to all of us, right? I mean, none of us are untouched. Can either make us or break us. Is that too glib? But I mean, I know it sounds like a Hallmark card, but seems to me in your description of it, there really is a kind of processing that goes on. And I'm curious as to, for this year particularly, is there a kind of unknowable quantity of inspiration that you just can't fake? Either have it or you don't. Or, I mean, as a coach, you talked about this. Man, I got some great players. They have great athletic ability. They're disciplined. And yet this other sort of unmeasurable spark comes along, and man, they are just clicking on all cylinders. How do you account for that?
Well, you know, again, I think if you look at everything as a blessing, not just when things go well, but when things are difficult, I think you have a more clear vision of what life really is. And there's a healthy tension that has to exist. You know, the same two fingers, the thumb and the index finger, that pick up a contact lens, you know, are so just gently, are the same two fingers that can pick up a rock that can really hurt something.
And, or a gun.
Or a gun, exactly. And you've really got to manage that tension. And the tension can be a really healthy tension if the good things are dealt with in a certain way, but also the hard things are dealt with in a certain way. And you've got to have both. What life is.
It sounds like, too, that for you, the collective is really a source of that. You talked about your personal faith in God, but then you talk about how, as a team, there's that sort of collective resolve, and you help each other in the process of it all, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Pulling together, we say.
Well, and I think transparency is so huge, because I think with transparency, trust is developed. And that's something that, when you have trust, if you're a part of a group, whether it be a family, a team, a business, things tend to work much better. And I've seen a lot more success in that.
Yeah. Coaching has changed a lot. Would you agree? Collegiate athletics has changed dramatically.
Yes.
It's not just for the sport of it anymore, or the, let's say, the academic aspects of it. It's business, big business.
Yeah, it is big business. And I think, too, that there's a lot of entitlement that the athletes are feeling now, that because of the big business, because in some instances, sport is making a lot of money. I mean, I just read today that the NCAA made over $1 billion this year. And so then the athletes look at that and say, well, I deserve a piece of that. And rather than it just being, wow, I get a scholarship to come and to play the sport I love, it's become more than that. And I think part of our job as coaches is to take them back down to what is pure about sport? Why are we doing this? What is pure about education? And this is really what it's all about.
And we've done that to ourselves, haven't we?
Absolutely.
Yeah, we've lost the joy of just doing something for the sake of doing it.
And I think, too, you know, you look at the great American dream, and everything tends to be about making money. And I don't know that until you've made money and you realize there really isn't anything in money. It's the relationships that you build on the way. It's the experience you have. And that's unfortunate that, you know, through all the social media, through all the media period, you look and you see the best and the beautiful and the bright, and it's not what it's all cut out to be in real life.
That made me laugh when I got this story the other day. You probably saw that the National Association of golf caddies now are suing or have come with a class action suit against the PGA because they want a piece of the action. They are historically have been asked to wear bibs during any golf match, and the bibs are, of course, embroidered with or imprinted with some sponsor's logo, and it represents a sizable amount of cash, and so they want their piece of the action.
Unbelievable.
There you go.
Yeah.
Who knew? The caddies. We just thought the caddies were just like Bill Murray, you know, people who were just kind of lovable, and it turns out they got needs. So in the face of those kinds of pressures, let's say, and I mean, I guess that is a kind of pressure, isn't it, for a young athlete? Because meanwhile, his or her family is saying, "Hey, you got to go. You got to, you know, do your year," and so now off they go.
Well, or even, you know, you need to be the one with the ball in your hands the whole time because you're building your brand right now. And if you want to go on and you want to play and you want to be sponsored,
star status,
you need to have that. And and it just isn't good for the sake of a team. And and we don't want those types of players on our team.
Are you abide with this idea that it's better to keep your eyes on that process? I mean, I'm saying in play on the court rather than looking at the scoreboard. Do you say, look, stay to the fundamentals, bounce the ball, pass the ball? That's where the game is played.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that our team does a great job of just focusing on getting better. You know, you can dream and think all you want, and don't believe me, we do that. We do that at the beginning of the year. We do that periodically throughout the year, but then we zoom right back down to what it will take to achieve those types of dreams.
And what does that require? I mean, when we talk about, again, today's college athlete, the academics, the outside pressure, the family pressure, the demands of the game fundamentally.
It's very intentional.
Man.
Their schedules are very intentional to achieve the type of success that they want to achieve, both on the court but also in the classroom and in life. And we get to help them manage that. And I think it's important, too, that you know they feel the support for getting an A as much as they feel the support for getting 12 rebounds. Mm-hmm. And I think even in going out in the community, I think of Lauren Coleman on our team, a fifth-year senior who's involved with Big Brothers and Big Sisters. She doesn't have a lot of time, but she makes that choice to enhance her own character and be a part of this community.
Mm-hmm. And you said earlier, it is always a matter of choosing. You know, how are you going to use the things that have been given to you for good or for harm? Is it often that you have players pull you aside and say, "Coach, I really need to talk. I have that need in my life." Is that a big part of your role then with your team?
It is, and I share that with my assistant coaches as well. I think they know that we do care, and we want to hear the things in their life that are hard. We understand that all the pressures that they're getting in the classroom and through basketball are very difficult. So if we can help them bear the burdens that that come with just life, I think that's important. And they really don't care how much we know until they know how much we care. Mm-hmm. And so we do try to stay available and walk through the difficulties.
How much is their family's involvement part of that whole process?
It's huge.
Stay real close?
Yeah. Very, very much so. You know, when we sign someone, we sign their whole family. And we make sure that I don't want to screw up what their family's done for 18 years, you know, in the four I have. I want to make sure that they're handing me a baton and saying, hey, okay, we trust you to keep running with this.
Right. Seems to me that that has become a hallmark, if I can say this, about Florida State Athletics. I think that's a fair assessment. I think that that carries over into a number of the sports that are presented and represented, whether it's basketball or golf or certainly football. Bowden is legendary for his hands-on personal relationship is where it's all about. I don't think Jimbo's any further away from that. I think
he's tremendous with that. And I think, too, it plays into the culture of excellence that we have. I really don't believe that at this age, when young people are from 18 to 22, that they are going to be professional. They don't want to be treated as a professional at this point. And they're making that transition from their home life into a professional world, and so they need a little bit of both.
You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. We're talking with Coach Sue Summerow. You stay with us. We got more right up ahead.
New deals and new specials are now available at Jerry's Famous Cigar Shop. Each week, Jerry's will offer double Jerry's Bucks on select featured cigar brands. You'll get 10 Jerry's Bucks for every $50 you spend, plus standard Bucks and Mucker member discounts. It's first come, first served, so don't wait. Curbside pickup is available at both Jerry's Cigar Shop locations, plus free UPS shipping on orders over $29. You can find all the great deals and specials at jerryscigarshop.com. That's jerryscigarshop.com.
Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back. We're talking Florida State women's basketball. Doing okay. And looking forward to further wins up ahead. And as we talk with Coach Sue Summerow here, it's clear to me, Coach, that I'll say this. I can't imagine you doing anything else. Mm. Is that true?
I've thought a lot about what else I would be doing, and I don't think anything fits my personality quite like this does. So
for you, that is a kind of destiny. Did you know that when you were back there at Brookside Elementary
School? No, heck no, no.
Now, folks, you have to know this, that we went to the same elementary school, middle school, and high school. The Mighty Highlanders, right?
Mighty Highlanders,
and you know what? I was the voice of Big Otis.
That's big time. If y'all could just see Big Otis, he was this Scot that was on the wall in the gymnasium, and during pep rallies, Big Otis would speak to us.
I mean, this voice from, you know, on high.
Yes.
And
Hootmon.
Yeah. And that was the first indication that I might have the ability to be in front of a microphone. God only knows. But what a curious coincidence that you and I come from those places in the Pacific Northwest and those experiences in those times. And those times were, I would say, among other things, quite innocent comparatively. You know, we just didn't have the controversies. We didn't have the world events. That we were living in a very, I thought, safe world. Not so much anymore.
Now
we have legislation being proposed as we speak here today about students being allowed to carry firearms on campus. Right. See, when I went to Seattle University, I was just worried about the parking.
I know it.
So what's happened to us, do you think? And when you look at the kinds of things that even Florida State has had to deal with in this last year and a half, 2 years of college football, that continues to be brought back to us, it seems, relentlessly. Here's a young man who is, as you said earlier, a young man in transition, a guy who was entrusted to us. And through the course of this last year, we've had a number of conversations with people from various walks of life, various professional backgrounds. But there was a kind of consensus that said, he's a kid. He's a young guy. The ability for him to perform on the football field, on that gridiron, was really the key. And it overshadowed some of those, we'll say, softer questions about your personal behavior and the kind of mentoring that that requires. It sounds like that's the kind of mentoring you bring to your players, where, you know, it doesn't begin and end, you know, at the end of a game. You know, this is ongoing.
Well, and I think too that you look at the change in the last 20 years in the level of media. I mean, we're sitting now in a radio studio. That used to be really what it was about, radio, a little bit of television. But now with the advent of the internet and social media, I think that there's a lot of ideas that are floating around out there that, you know, people don't have the character maybe to say, no, that's not right. So maybe something that happened would leads to more violence because it's out there and they see it and it's doable. And I think that's where we have a challenge right now as educators to continue to mentor and educate young people.
That you see yourself as an educator.
Very much so.
Yeah. In that capacity, when you bring a young person to that inherently national, international, global stage, is that part of the preparation? When you recruit somebody, you sit them down and go, now realize you're about to step out here and it's not your hometown anymore.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's a 24/7 news cycle. So every time you sneeze, we're going to know about it. You don't put on your turn signal because we know where you're going.
Well, yes, so much so. And we don't want to be a big brother here, but you almost can't help it. People are putting their lives out there so much through social media. And so we want to make sure that they're educated that, gosh, when I put something out on social media, it's not just my friends that are going to see this, but maybe my future employer, maybe the president of the university.
So get smart.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's a part of this whole educator, coach protocol that you've had to incorporate.
Well, that and also education in a positive way. The NCAA allows us to travel overseas once every 4 years. And so to be able to take our players over to Senegal, to Italy, to South Africa, and to see the Eiffel Tower in 3D, and to see the Leaning Tower of Pisa, to see orphanages and townships and all of those things that we've, over the years, been able to do. It's much more interesting than reading about it in a book.
Yeah, man. Last question. What do you love most about Tallahassee? You've been here 18 years.
You know, every time I fly into Tallahassee and get on a plane, I feel like I should know everyone that's on the plane. And I love that. I love that I will know someone, and I feel like I should know everyone. It's such a community feel. I love that, the businesses came out in support of our hosting the NCAA tournament this weekend. And that during this weekend that you're listening to this broadcast, that business owners and individuals in our community have donated tickets to the Boys and Girls Club, the school system, Tallahassee Parks and Rec, and that everyone's coming together to support one another.
Very cool.
I just think it's an amazing town, and I've lived here now longer than I lived in Seattle.
I could say the same. What do you like least about us? about Tallahassee?
I think the fact that we're such a sleeper. I think a lot of people don't see Tallahassee for what it really is. I mean, it's a capital city with thriving businesses, businesses that individuals have opened, from small businesses to big businesses. I mean, I love the fact that Starbucks is now in many corners of Tallahassee. That means we've made it.
Folks, what a charming opportunity with a charming individual. Sue Semero, coach for Florida State women's basketball. Doing okay. We think we're going to keep her around because we learn a lot every time we get a chance to talk. Thank you for being here this morning.
Oh, thank you, Brian.
And much success to you and to your team and your staff. Go Noles.
Go Noles, thank you.
It's a great time, and this is well-earned, in my humble opinion. I think you certainly deserve every success. Folks, that's what we have for you this morning. Thank you for making it a part of your morning. We invite you to stay with us through the weeks ahead. We're going to learn more and more about this town we call Tallahassee.
We are the production of Spatterwork Media and Entertainment, coming to you from the studios of Moose Magnificat Radio, Tallahassee's radio to the world. All local musicians playing their original songs all the time. That is Moose Magnificat, the sound of Tallahassee. You'll find them at moosemagnificat.com. Carl Cerny is our executive producer, and I'll be looking for you again next week. So come on, Tallahassee, come talk to me.
Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.